Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from According to the Promise by Charles Spurgeon. That's the name of a book that he put together with a lot of great chapters, and we're on a chapter that's called The Promise Used for This Life. And he uses 1 Timothy 4:8 as his text. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. A sort of affectation prevents some Christians from treating religion as if its sphere lay among the commonplaces of daily life. It is to them transcendental and dreamy, rather a creation of pious fiction than a matter of fact. They believe in God, after a fashion, for things spiritual and for the life which is to be, but they totally forget that true godliness has the promise of the life which now is, as well as of that which is to come. To them it would seem almost a profanation to pray about the small matters of which daily life is made up. Perhaps they'll be startled if I venture to suggest that this should make them question the reality of their faith. If it cannot bring them help in little troubles of life, will it support them in the greater trials of death? If it cannot profit them as to food and clothing, what can it do for them as to the immortal spirit? In the life of Abraham, we perceive that his faith had to do with all the events of his earthly pilgrimage. It was connected with his removals from one country to another, with the separation of a nephew from his camp, with fighting among invaders, especially with the birth of the long-promised son. No part of the patriarch's life was outside the circle of his faith in God. Towards the close of his life, it is said, "And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things," which includes temporals as well as spirituals. In Jacob's case, the Lord promised him bread to eat, clothing to put on, and the bringing of him to his father's house in peace. And all these things are of a temporal and earthly character. Assuredly, these first believers did not spirit away the present blessings of the covenant or regard it as an airy, mystical matter to believe in God. One is struck with the want of any line of demarcation between secular and sacred in their lives. They journeyed as pilgrims, fought like crusaders, ate and drank like saints, lived as priests and spoke as prophets. Their life was their religion, and their religion was their life. They trusted God not merely about certain things of higher import, but about everything. And hence, even a servant from one of their houses, when he was sent on an errand, prayed, "O Lord God of my master, prosper the way which I go." This was genuine faith, and it is ours to imitate it, and no longer to allow the substance of the promise and the life of faith to evaporate in mere sentimental and visionary fancies. If trust in God is good for anything, it's good for everything within the line of the promise, and it's certain that the life which now is lies within that region. Let my listener observe and practically use such words of God as these: "You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you." That's in Exodus 23. Verse 25, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land. Verily you shall be fed." That's Psalm 37, verse 3. "Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, or for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you." That's Psalm 91, verses 3 through 7. He shall deliver you in 6 troubles. Yes, in 7. There shall no evil touch you. Job 5:19. He that walks up righteously and speaks uprightly, he that despises the gain of oppressions, that shakes his hands from holding of bribes, that stops his ears from hearing of blood, and shuts his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given to him. His waters shall be sure. That's in Isaiah 33, verses 15 and 16. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. Psalm 84:11. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Isaiah 54:17. Well, our Savior intended faith to be our quietus, our concerning daily cares, or he would not have said, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body more than clothing? Look at the fowls of the air. They don't sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Matthew 6:25-26. What else but the exercise of faith concerning temporal things could he have meant when he used the following language? Seek not ye what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Your Father knows that you have need of these things. That's Luke 12:29-30. Paul meant the same when he wrote, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, Philippians 4:6-7. He who is gone to heaven to prepare heaven for us will not leave us without provision for the journey there. God does not give us heaven as the Pope gave England to the Spanish king, if he could get it, but he makes the road sure as well as the end. Now, our earthly necessities are as real as our spiritual ones, and we may rest sure that the Lord will supply them. He will send us those supplies in the way of promise, prayer, and faith, and so make them a means of education for us. He'll fit us for Canaan by the experience of the wilderness. To suppose that temporal things are too little for our condescending God is to forget that he observes the flight of sparrows and counts the hairs of his people's heads. Besides, everything is so little to him that if he does not care for the little, he cares for nothing. Who is to divide affairs by size or weight? The turning point of history may be a minute circumstance. Blessed is the man to whom nothing is too small for God. For certainly nothing is too small to cause us sorrow or to involve us in peril. A man of God once lost a key. He prayed about it and found it. Well, it was reported of him as a strange circumstance. Indeed, it was nothing unusual. Some of us pray about everything and tremble lest the infinitesimal things should not be sanctified by the word of God and prayer. It's not the including of trifles which is any trouble to our consciences, but the omission of them. We are assured that when our Lord gave his angels charge to guard our feet from stones in the way, he placed all the details of our life under heavenly care. We are glad to commit all things to his keeping. It's one of the abiding miracles of the present dispensation that in Christ we have continual peace under all trials. And through him, we have power in prayer to obtain from the Lord all things necessary for this life and godliness. It has been the writer's lot to test the Lord hundreds of times about temporal needs, being driven thereto by the care of orphans and students. Prayer has many, many times brought opportune supplies and cleared away serious difficulties. I know that faith can fill a purse, provide a meal, change a hard heart, procure a site for a building, heal sickness, quiet insubordination, and stay an epidemic. Like money in the worldling's hand, faith in the hand of the man of God answereth all things. All things in heaven and earth and under the earth answer to the command of prayer. Faith is not to be imitated by a quack, and nor simulated by a hypocrite. But where it is real and can grasp a divine promise with firm grip, it is a great wonder worker. How I wish that my listeners would so believe in God as to lean upon him in all the concerns of his life. This would lead him into a new world and bring to him such confirmatory evidence as to the truth of our holy faith that he would laugh skeptics to scorn. Childlike faith in God provides sincere hearts with a practical prudence, which I am inclined to call sanctified common sense. The simple-minded believer, though laughed at as an idiot, has a wisdom about him which comes from above and effectually baffles the cunning of the wicked. Nothing puzzles a malicious enemy like the straightforward unguardedness of an out-and-out believer. He that believes his God is not afraid of evil tidings, for his heart has found a calm fixity in trusting in the Lord. In a thousand ways this faith sweetens, enlarges, and enriches life. Try it, dear listener. See if it does not yield you an immeasurable wealth of blessedness. It will not save you from trouble. The promise is, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, John 16:33. But it will cause you to glory in tribulations also, says Paul, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Romans 5:3-5. My faith not only flies to heaven, but walks with God below. To me are all things daily given, while passing to and fro. The promise speaks of worlds above, but not of these alone. It feeds and clothes me now with love, and makes this world my own. I trust the Lord, and he replies, in things both great and small. He honors faith with prompt supplies. Faith honors him in all. Amen. Charles Spurgeon, according to the promise. All right, we have other great men of God on this website. I hope you go looking for them. Just click on the word series, S-E-R-I-E-S, series, and you'll see a lot of different people and topics. And I've had a lot of fun over these 20 years. I trust that you will enjoy with me the things that are there. Do especially go looking for the North Korea audios and the North Korea photos. I haven't updated the photos for quite some time because I felt I didn't need to anymore. There is enough stuff right there, hundreds of pictures for you to look at and captions and things that will cause you to want to pray for North Korea. At least that was the intention. A lot of other studies I've put on there, Quran, Muhammad, prophecy through the Bible, commentaries, books, just click on store, you'll see the books that are available, and a lot more. Plus, I've got a new website, FaulknerTales.com. Would you go check it out? Maybe you'll have a comment for me on that. Well, anyway, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.